What's good? What's good? I'm back. Yours truly, the one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, aka Triple P, aka the Common Sense Podcast. It's early 7 in the morning, Saturday. I figure I'm going to go ahead and bang out another video. Today I'm going to react to ABBA on the No Jumper Podcast, or the host of the No Jumper Podcast, asking him, what happened to SoundCloud rappers? But before we do, let's give you a word from one of our sponsors.
Me and my team, whenever we link up, they're gonna be drink up. They sit and relax and have few glasses when there's things to think about. Like I'm nice with the bars when I tend to the bars and I'm not talking drink up. So tell the bartender that's tending the bar to please pass me a big cup up. And tell that waitress is waiting on us to put another ice in it. Now watch the ice become weightless like the spaceships that I be sitting in. No waiting, listen, no, they're waiting for that tropical twist. That'll kick in your taste buds. Now tell you something, I insist it's the drizzle.
I really love that beat every time I hear it. That's right. Do you dizzle? Yes, I dizzle. Dizzle is a premium luxury liqueur mixed with agave tequila, French cognac, and orange liquor mango mix. Just throw your dizzle on ice, and it's nice. If you want to order your very own bottle or bottles of Dizzle Premium Luxury Liqueur, just go to dizzlebrand.com, click on our locations, click on one of the top three website links. I recommend Emilio's Beverage. Must be 21 and over. Shipping and handling is included. And you can scroll below that, and you'll see actual locations in California, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Arkansas, and coming soon to a new state or city near you. So we're going to get into it. It's the I forgot the name of the guy that does the No Jumper Podcast. Adam something. So it's him and ABBA basically asking what happened to SoundCloud rappers. Let's see what they got to say.
It happens to all like those dopey lean rappers like Lil Xan now that they are no longer relevant.
I mean, you know, think about the career of a rapper. You basically like, you come out, you have this big explosion of interest where everybody wants to look at you and talk about you, and you're very much like this little freak show. And there's a lot of different levels to it where like some people just seem like regular guys and they're kind of like, it's easier for people to like understand that their value is in the music versus like a lot of the SoundCloud rappers, the value is more in the meme. Right. And yeah, it's like, as a rapper, it's your job to like capitalize on that moment and then also try to like build something long-term that you can monetize, right? And when you look at somebody like Lil Xan, he's definitely an example of somebody who basically just torched his, you know, ability to really do his thing during that time period by not taking the opportunity serious. But then also it's like, you know, what can you do with your fame in the long run? Because it's like, there's a lot of different ways to make money off rap and everything. And with Lil Xan, it's like, I think he's a charming enough guy that I think if he got sober, he could be successful doing any number of things. I think he could be a YouTuber or a streamer. I think he could probably make a decent run at being popular musically again if he were to really take that serious. I think that, you know, it's just like a lot of things that I could kind of imagine somebody like him doing, because he's famous as fuck. He is likable when he's in a relatively sober state. But, you know, is he going to take his life seriously enough to even pursue any of these like hypothetical opportunities? I mean, he hasn't really shown that to me for sure. And, you know, like people like Lil Pump, like he recently did an interview and he hates me now. He's mad at me or whatever, because I guess I said something on the podcast that made it sound like I thought he fell off or whatever, which, you know, sorry. It's hard not to acknowledge reality sometimes. But, yeah, you know, and he basically like went and did an interview with Bootleg Kev the other day. And, you know, it just doesn't really seem like he's even accepted that his career has had like a downturn. And it seems like he kind of, there's no sign that he's like going to change anything, because I think musically all these guys, Lil Pump, Lil Xan, whatever, if they really were to put their fucking nose to the grindstone and make music that was interesting to people, I think that they could have success.
Yeah,
they just have to actually really take that serious, and you can't just keep making the same shit.
No, No, and you know, oftentimes people come out with their first stuff and then it's their best stuff, and then afterwards they go through that sophomore slump that everyone talks about. But it's because there's an evolution that needs to happen. You know what I mean? A kid dancing at 13 is absolutely adorable, or 10, whatever. Then that same kid trying to do the same dance at 18, 19 doesn't elicit the same reaction. All of a sudden you lose that cute factor, that kind of initial factor.
Let me chime in real quick. I agree with a lot of, I think his name is Adam22. First of all, the music they make is only for a small crowd. A small crowd of music fans and hip-hop fans. Like, everybody's not into the I drink lean, pop pills all day music. Like, because he touched on something. He said, you got cats that really are just normal, average people, and they're really making it solely off the music. Kendrick, Cole, that's the cats he's talking about. J. Cole is, you know, I literally, my apartment is 1-2 minutes away from where J. Cole grew up. He's just a normal, average dude. That's why you see him riding a bike. He's solely making off the music. Kendrick, but then you got these cats, like these Lil Pumps and Lil Xans. They need all the extra stuff. You know, pink, purple hair, green hair, whatever. They need all the controversial stuff. DaBaby is from Charlotte, North Carolina, and I actually did promotion on the 21 record, you know, as he was already negotiating a deal. And he pretty much, without him wearing a diaper at South by Southwest, I don't know that DaBaby makes it where he's at today. Without that gimmick, that antic, or, you know, I don't know. I guess that you could say it's controversial, a grown man in a diaper at South by Southwest with a chain on. Another thing is, all rappers and all musicians have to reinvent themselves. And part of reinventing yourself is reinventing your sound. Like, look at a group like Outkast. Outkast came out, Southern Playalistic Cadillac Music. They was on some player shit. They literally reinvented themselves after the first album. On the second album, they were ATLians. They were out of this world. They were on some other shit for the mothership. They was not on some player shit totally. It was a little bit weirder, a little bit strange, unique, out of this world. Even the sound on the album was like, I was listening to it the other day, like the ATLians is one of the greatest albums ever made in hip-hop history, you know, and they probably even reinvented themselves a little bit more after that. I would argue that they probably reinvented themselves almost every single album. They just got weirder and weirder and weirder and bigger and bigger and bigger, because if I'm not mistaken, their last album was their best-selling album, and then that was it. They were done. I mean, Outkast is hip-hop gods. Like, you talking about legends? I mean, there is no Atlanta hip-hop music without there. None of these rappers. There's none of these rappers out of Atlanta. There's none of them motherfuckers without Outkast today. So let's keep it moving. But I agree with a lot what they said. These SoundCloud rappers, their music just, they have to make different music. They have to really tap into, I'm not going to be just a druggie. It's not like they're making, they're not making a Cypress Hill weed music. They're making the druggie music, the junkie music. And everybody's not into the junkie music. Let's keep it moving.
Show some depth. Can't listen to you make the same fucking record for 30 years, you know?
And people want to see growth. Absolutely. And it's like, even, you know, you'll forever click on a girl's TikTok and she'll have 2 million followers and, like, you know, she'll have a couple of videos, a couple million views, and then she'll have, like, you know, every other current video is like 5,000 views, 10,000 views, because it's like, yeah, if it doesn't matter how pretty you are, if you just keep churning out the same fucking totally soulless content, then people are going to lose interest and stop watching. Same thing with YouTubers, same thing with all these rappers.
Yes,
and it's like, facts. They have the fame part down. It's just, it's kind of depressing that now it's all about the music.
Yeah,
all about the music. You should if I was any of those guys, I would like live in the studio. I would make myself a student of music. I would listen to music from the 70s and 80s and try different Like, you just have to do, like, the only thing that's going to bring Lil Xan back is if Lil Xan makes a fucking album or a song that changes shit and that is different.
I highly doubt they were working that hard before they got the music. So I think they're going to work all of a sudden much harder after they get some comfort and they get some money.
Especially once they feel like no matter what they make, nobody's going to listen to it because the fan base just isn't there. And rap is just addicted to new shit. It's like they want to see new rappers.
It depends. I think some people elicit a loyal fan base and it becomes timeless, but those are few and far between.
You have to build a masterful career if you want to have the kind of fan base that'll sit on their hands for 5 years while you don't put an album out like Kendrick, you know? That's just awesome. That it's incredible, but it's like it's the thing that like almost no rappers are able to do. And even rappers who are really popular, like somebody like Roddy Ricch goes away for like a year and then drops an album that people think is kind of mid, and it's like his stock plummets in regards to how people talk about him.
He hasn't earned it. He hasn't earned it.
He thought he was Kendrick,
Do you mean Kendrick? There's people on a smaller scale who retain their fan base even over the
years. No one is Kendrick.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm pretty confident that, like, Take Immortal Technique, if he came out with a new album at some point, a lot of his old fan base will jump on all over that because he's earned that from them over time. Because
he has a diehard fan base in the same way that a Danny Brown has a diehard fan base, in the same way that Currency has that.
But they've worked for it.
The highs of their career, realistically, have not been that high, but they've managed to like have this real-ass fan base that will support them long-term. And that's the thing that a lot of these SoundCloud rappers 100% did not do, is that they just lost the connection with their community, which understandably, because a lot of those people just straight up move on. You know, like their favorite rapper when they were 14 is just not their favorite rapper 4 years later. Whereas your favorite rapper when you're 20 might actually be one of your favorite rappers when you're 30. Like when you're 18, 19, 20, that era of your fandom tends to be the part that gets crystallized long term, you know?
Have you ever interviewed somebody who made it big and then lost kind of everything afterwards and now is like working a regular life?
All the time, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You've interviewed that person?
I mean, it's like a different version of it, but like Rich Homie Quan, I interviewed like 2 days ago, and he, you know, was in this group with Young Thug, was like signed to his label, was like had huge songs, and then him and Young Thug basically fall out, no communication, they don't fuck with each other at all anymore. And then around the same time, his career got kind of stalled out because he was in this bad label deal, he's trying to get out of the label deal, so he can't drop music for like 2-3 years. Yeah. And it's like, he was telling me the other day, it was pretty sad. He's like talking about how his 14-year-old son said to him, "Damn, Dad, like they were saying that you used to be the man." Like
that sounds like a rap lyric.
I know, but it's like but I could imagine. Yeah, he was the man. And I don't know. That was like, and you know, he's still, it sounds like his money situation is still pretty good. Like he's not really hurting in that regard because he's had
That's so sad, bro.
Yeah, but he doesn't have like the fame or the like, you know, level of that he wanted to be at, but now he's independent and it's about the music. Can he make a fucking hit song that'll change shit for him? Like I listened to his new album. It's dope as fuck.
Think about how sad that is.
Let me chime in real quick. All due respect, Rich Homie Quan was not making timeless music. If this idea that just because he has a fallout with Young Thug that his career stalled because of that. No, his career stalled because his first single was probably his best. And Abba touched on this earlier. That is a problem in the music industry when your first single is always your best, you know? Or your first album is always your best. Your second album doesn't get no better. I mean, I would argue, if you look at a cat like Nas, I would argue, to me, Rewind is one of his greatest albums. I put Rewind over his first album. I mean, not Rewind, but Stillmatic over Illmatic. The second album was pretty freaking dope, Nas's. I mean, you know, I just said ATLiens was so dope from Outkast. Like, yes, we don't want to see you drop a single and that's your best song ever. And yeah, having one hit is better than having no hits. But, you know, Rich Homie Quan wasn't putting out a bunch of bangers. And his new album might be good. It might be good. But we got to stop acting like this sound of this generation is timeless. Adam just said it himself. Like, if I was a musician, I would be studying 70s, 80s, you know, these older artists. But none of these new artists are implementing 70s or 80s music into their music anymore. They're just all using a lot of basic 808 drum kits and basic sounds. None of them are sampling no more. And to me, that's why this music can't be timeless. Even for this era, most of this music ain't timeless because they're not using samples. You know, they're not sampling nothing. I think maybe cats like Cole and Kendrick are probably using more samples than anybody, you know? And all this stuff probably isn't super heavy sample, but I would argue that they probably use more samples than anybody. You know, that's the problem with this music nowadays. Nobody wants to use samples because it costs too much to clear the samples. That's the problem with samples. Like, these people need to come down on the prices of sampling, you know, records and stuff like that. Because I want to say that sampling was a lot cheaper in the 90s than it is now. And that shouldn't be the case when the cost of living is higher. Like, you would think sample would be, you know, more affordable. But yeah, like, SoundCloud rappers won't really meant for longevity. They don't make timeless music, classic music. And that's the thing. If you don't make timeless classic music, you can't expect your fan base to just cling on to you forever. Once again, thank you for tuning in, Paul Pickett Podcast, and I'm out.